Accession number 27226, Real 6.
Line of hook, Real 6.
Okay. Well, we'd finished at Vincent and we're going off to Elmdon in about 24th of April at the end of the course, and we got our way from the bombing and went to Elmdon, which was the old terminal building in the Elmdon Airport as it was, which was a terminal building surrounded by a concrete strip in the front of the building. We were all accommodated there on the floor with ordinary, what we call straw mattresses, the pilotes, and that's how we slept. We'd only just arrived there, and they followed us all the way from Portsmouth and dropped 6 bombs on the airfield. Not one of them went off, and 2 of them hit the concrete platform outside the terminal building, and 3 went across the airfield. That was a good start, sort of they're following us around. Anyway, that was up to Elmdon, which was, well, we're getting sort of more familiar with the flying business, really. We're getting conditioned to it, as it were. And the first thing, of course, was the normal training, which you must know about anyway, but we did air experience and that sort of thing.
What does that entail, though, when you get an air experience?
Oh, well, they take... most people have never been in an aeroplane before. So they took up in a Tiger Moth, and they flew the aeroplane around and then did spins, did a spin, did a loop, and very, very fundamental aerobatics, you know, very, very simple thing. Just so you got an indication of what was what. Spinning was the thing that frightened everybody to death for some reason. I don't know why, but it was a fundamental maneuver. The first thing, people who first experienced that had to get out of the system to start with. After that, it was just a question of familiarization with the light aircraft as it was, which was just a stick and the wheels, no brakes or anything like that. Control of the aircraft purely and simply by engine power and the propeller and the tail for taxiing and everything else. So that was a fairly straightforward activity. We then went off to do our training, in effect. We had an RAF instructor, and when we flew and we got instruction as to flying and the physical experience of what was happening when you were flying an aeroplane.
Was there a sequence of instruction?
Pardon?
Was there a sequence of instruction that you had to follow?
There is, yes. If you'd like to stop it. Right. So the first thing, of course, was that we were familiarised with the place and the people, and we were told exactly what we were going to do. We weren't flying all the time. There'd be weather times when we'd be sitting down and be taught precisely what was happening to the aircraft when we're learning. We went to 14 elementary flying training school at Elmdon in Birmingham, and with aircraft with the Tiger Moths, with an RAF instructor, a flying officer, who first of all took us up for air experience and provided the familiarisation with the aeroplane, the comfort, the cockpit layout, and on a very, very simple basis. It's at this stage that you were shown that there was an airspeed indicator, a turn and bank indicator, which are very primary, turn and bank, airspeed indicator, and also, rather interesting, there was a simple airspeed indicator on the outside wing of the aircraft, which was just a leaf on a spring where the air pressure moved it across on a grid. So that it showed as you got faster, so the airspeed went up. Airspeed was quite important, but we came to this as we developed. First of all, the familiarisation. It's worthwhile stopping here just to think of later on when I had never flown the American equivalent, which is a Stearman. purely and simply because in my lifetime I'd never done what was called an inverted spin. And I was well past my sell-by date when I went up for this air experience in a Stearman. And it was rather surprising to find that you sat in the aircraft, the Stearman, the thing you always remember about it was the steering stick, you know, the control column was a piece of wood with a knob on the end of it, whereas ours were a handle with a handle on it. Just a silly little thing. But you go from that thought of the old original Tiger off with spit and string, biplane, fabric and everything else, to Stearmans, which are exactly the same, made for American training. And enough of that, because we can come back to that later, probably. But that's just an indication of the slight personal difference you remember between the English Tiger Moth and the Stearman, which was used in the States, which was, incidentally, a much stronger aircraft for doing things. First thing was we did taxiing and controls, and it's not easy to control an aircraft when you haven't got brakes. So you're taught how you use your propeller to produce an airstream across your rudder so that it would push the tail around, which had a skid. It hadn't a wheel at the back. And in order to move across the airfield, you didn't go in a straight line. You moved in a series of left and right turns so that you were watching all round to see you didn't hit anything. You've got complete vision, bearing in mind that you're sitting at that time in the back seat of the aircraft under training, and you can't see ahead of yourself. There's a head in front of you, so the only visuals you had were left and right. He demonstrated the controls visually by showing what happened when you took your control column and moved it to the right and the left, how it turned the bits and pieces backwards and forwards, how your rudder went up and down, and how your pedals operated the rudder. The fundamental things for straight and level flying, turning right, turning left, and so on. We then went into taxied down the airfield to take off. We're on what do they call them? A voice phone. To the pilot. No, not a microphone. No, no.
A voice pipe, yes.
A complete pipe. What the devil do they call it? I'll come back to that. I remember it anyway. So you could talk to the instructor. And this came through your earphones and into a voice thing. He told you what he was doing. He then took off around the runway. He opened the throttle. The aircraft went forward. Got a speed, the tail lifted up, went straight along the runway, and then ultimately he pulled the tail back and the aircraft went into the air. That was a simple, straightforward use of the elevator. We're now flying, and he just took us up to a reasonable height and then showed how we got there, and then we went to straight and level flying, and then showed the effects of, first of all, flying straight and level, how you moved it up and down, straight and forward. And then, during the course of that, he showed you what happened when you turned by actually saying, taking your hands off the control columns, now I'm going to turn, and he used the rudder by itself without any control, and the net result was that the aircraft just turned and slid down and turned over and that way. Brought it back and controlled to straight and level flying, the same in the other way, and then straight forward again. This merely an indication of how you have to turn from straight, and you don't turn just on the rudder. You have to turn and you have to move the ailerons round so that instead of skidding round like that, you're flying round in a curve. That is a fundamental aspect of flying. And it's the first piece of work that you have to do to recognise what happens. So first of all, you're going along straight and level. You put on your a little bit of rudder, and the nose drops because you're going. So you hold back a little bit on the stick, and then you take it to the left, the way you're going, and you gradually adjust to turning. At that stage, you learn that the guide is purely and simply the horizon in front of you. You're flying to a horizon, and if your nose dropped below it, you've got to get up above it, and depending on whether you're turning fast or turning slow, and this is all more complex than it actually was, you keep your nose on the line of the horizon, and you can do a turn until you actually get to the stage where you're doing a steep turn, where in fact you're holding the aircraft's nose onto the horizon by the top rudder, okay, and you are pulling it round in a circle against the air pressure of the wings, so that you're just going round like that in a steep, what is almost a vertical steep turn. That is a transition from straight and level flying through to the process of going all round. Now that is fundamental, because when you're flying you need to turn right and left. So that's the first thing. It then took us from the turn to climbing, so we climb. In order to climb, if you have an airspeed, which is a critical speed, and so he shows you how to climb by opening the throttle and pull him gently back on the stick so your nose goes above the horizon. You watch your airspeed so it doesn't fall below the stalling speed, and you climb at a set rate. I can't remember what it was, but it would probably be in a Tiger Moth, probably 60-65 miles an hour. It's miles an hour in those days. Later on I'll be talking of knots, but it's miles an hour at the moment. So you're climbing, and so he takes you up and he climbs up, and on the way up he does a climbing turn, which is merely a combination of the actions you've taken to the right and to the left, and you go up to a reasonable height of about 2,000 feet. And 2,000 feet is no height, but it's a demonstration level more than anything else. He then shows what happens if you're going along with a low speed, at less than 60, how your airspeed drops down to about 45 miles an hour, and suddenly it stalls, and you fall out, in a Tiger Moth, you fall out of the sky straight. Okay? Then you're stalling, and in order to get over the stall, because you've pulled your nose up, you push your nose down, and you go straight back till you get to flying speed. Simple, straightforward. Right. So we now go up and do a stall, and then we do medium turns up into the stall, and a gliding approach to landing. In other words, we haven't done any more at this stage. We're just doing a basic thing: go up, around, fly around, come back, approach the airfield, and to show how you do a landing, you go straight, you turn a left, the line of the airfield into wind. You turn left, and then come downwind, and you notice that you're going faster downwind if there's anything of a wind. And then when you get to the end of the runway on your tip of your wing, you turn and do a gentle turn through 180 degrees so you're lined up with the runway. When you're lined up with the runway, he then closes the engine completely, and you glide down towards your first practical landing, maintaining the airspeed at above 45 degrees and on a glide. If the drops away, you stick forward, and you must keep your stick forward. But bear in mind that every time you push the stick forward, you're losing height. You then glide in, as it was in those days, to the end of the runway. You then go along till you're near on the ground. You pull the stick back, and the airplane floats and floats until it stalls, and then it hits the ground on a three-point landing. At that stage, you immediately pull the stick completely back, and before you know where you are on the ground. You then taxi along, do the necessary bits and pieces to get back for a takeoff. Fundamental, but the critical thing about flying. This is just a demonstration, but that is a procedure that you'll go through now every time you take off and land, until you're familiar. And it took me about 10 hours, I think, before I went solo, 10 or 12 hours, which is quite a long time. But normal, some people go solo in 6 or 7. But 12 is long enough time, really. Let's have a look-see. I did a series for a week of taking off into wind, gliding approach and landing. We'll deal with spinning in a minute. And that continued, taking off into wind, gliding approach and landing, wind. From that was nearly 9 days of repetition, just going round and round and round, bumpity bumpity bump. Only a short time, about an hour a trip, or under an hour a trip, 40, 50 minutes. So at this time, you're sitting in an airplane with an instructor who is taking you around and gradually inculcating you into an automatic procedure where you come in to do a landing, nothing more than that. Showing you all the other bits and pieces, but so now you're in the air, you can come back and land. Good enough. But when you're in there, you've got a problem. Because if things go wrong, you've got to know what to do. And the first thing is, if the engine catches fire. Now, the action in the event of fire is, first of all, you switch off the magneto. You've been taught how to start the engine in the first place, which, incidentally, I've skipped here, but go back again. In order to start an aircraft, a Tiger Moth particularly, you've no electronics, nothing else. You have a man standing in front of the aircraft, and he flicks the propeller around. He does that. Before he does that, everything is switched off, and he turns the prop around manually so that the cylinders are really occupying, sucking a little bit of petrol. And then you're sitting there, and you have two magneto switches on the cockpit, right, left-hand side. You showed how to switch those off and on. So you switch them on, and the man who's starting the aircraft, which incidentally the wheels are chopped so you can't go forward, he flicks the propeller down and the engine fires. When it fires, you hold the throttle in a certain position. When it fires, you just take it up so it's doing a reasonable number of revs, something I can't remember now, probably 700 or 800 revs, something in that order. And then the engine warms up, you open the throttle, with no brakes, against the blocks all the time, come back, and then you bring it back to a reasonable revs, and then you check your magnetos, two magnetos, you cut one off and see there's no mag drop, cut it back, and then you do it with the other magneto, you press that up, no mag drop, that's okay, the aircraft's now ready to fly, the engine's going, and you take off. So you now have problems because you're flying in the air, and when you're up there, you've somehow got to get back. And if the engine stops, what do you do? That's one problem. So you're taught gliding approaches with a dead stick. At that stage, I don't know whether it's at that stage, but certainly you're familiarised with it, and how to approach an airfield or a field or anything when you have no engine at all. In other words, you're taught the gliding approach, which was never go below your critical airspeed, which is about, in the Tiger Moth, about 45 miles an hour. You learn that very, very quickly. So now we've gone through we're into the gliding approach, we've done that. We're doing that regularly. If we're taking off into wind with your instructor, you do it yourself. He keeps a check on you. He criticizes, and you get conditioned. It's a conditioned reflex, purely and simply, to go around, take off, into the air, round, come back to the airfield, down, glide approach, land, the other runway, back again, bump, circuits and bumps, period.
You were going to say what happens when the procedure for if the engine had caught fire as well.
Ah, well, I'd say that was one of the instructions. But we're going through the process, first of all, of getting into the air. If an engine stops, first of all, that's point one. So you go up to about 2,000 feet, and The instructor cuts the engine, cuts the mag. The engine stops. So what do you do when the engine stops? Well, first of all, why is it stopped? So you look around to see whether your magnetos are on. First thing you do is put the magnetos back on again. The propeller is still going round because you've got, whatever you are in an aircraft, you've always a forward movement, whether it's going straight down or straight forward. So the propeller is always turning. So the first thing you do is check, first of all, that your petrol is switched on, that your magnetos are on, and then that the engine's going. If it isn't, you open the throttle, and if everything's switched on and the fuel's on, it should start again. If it doesn't start again, you've got a problem. We don't know what it is, you can't resolve it, you've just got to land. You've been doing gliding approaches all the time, you find a way to land on a spot rather than an airfield, and you approach that spot, you take a chance, you land, and then wait for someone to come pick you up. Fundamental, really, and you're taught how to recognise a suitable field, how to come to that field, and it's at that stage you've got to remember that when you're looking at a field from the air, it is not flat. Wherever you are, a field can be bumpy, it can be a mountain, it can be a mountainside, but the higher you get, the flatter it gets. And so you always have a problem that when you choose a field, it might have a gradient on it of some sort of kind. The point is, you get over the hedge, plonk yourself down and pray, as simple as that, then stop and wait. Now, so that's when the engine stops. If it catches fire, well, you've got a few options. The first thing to do, if you've got the thing, is to actually switch off your petrol. Leave the magnetos on. And you've got an engine that's fiery, a flame. So you open your throttle as wide as you can, switch the petrol off to make certain that the source of fuel isn't there. And then you, at that time, also looking for a place to go and land. If you think the engine goes out, it's always better. If it continues, then you jump out. Fundamental. Just jump out, you go over the side. You're flying in the air, you hold a parachute ring and wait and count six or seven, wait till you get there and pull it, and then you start flying again. So that's the principles. And this is all part and parcel of an activity that is conditioned reflexes virtually all the way. In things, you're doing things by rote, but gradually it sinks into your mind, and to the stage where you can go and actually fly yourself. Now, in that 12 hours or so, you are also taught other things, which are safety more than anything else. We've now got us into the air, you're up in the air, you're flying along, and you've forgotten what your airspeed is, you've forgotten all things, you're looking around, it's life's beautiful, and I'll tell you a story about that later on. But you've done spinning, the first indication you get when you go for your familiarisation flight is spinning. Now, spinning is a situation where you stall the aircraft, and when you stall the aircraft, one wing drops. In other words, it goes, and you can do it physically for practical exercise by stalling the aircraft below the speed of the airspeed, closing the throttle, and putting on left or right rudder, whichever way you like to do. When you say you put on left rudder, the aircraft will then drop its wings, it's no airspeed, so the nose drops, the aircraft goes down vertically towards the ground and spinning. And if you put on left rudder, it's spinning to the left. If you put on right rudder, it's spinning to the right. If it is spinning and you don't know which way, it's because you've had one foot in the wrong place. So if you're spinning a right spin, you know, to come out of it, you've got to put on left. So the first thing you do when you're in a spin, in a tiger moth, don't worry about the aspect, this is a tiger moth, a very simple light aircraft, is simply to put on full opposite rudder. Don't worry about it, just put it on, and the aircraft will stop rotating. Now it's rotating. In a spin, it stops spinning. So you're now going downwards, but you're not spinning anymore. So what have you got to do? You've got to get some airspeed. So you put the nose down, you put the rudder centrally, pull the stick back until you get flying speed, and then open the throttle if you've the throttle been closed for any reason, get flying speed, and you're back to normal. Right and left, no problem. A quite simple procedure. It's hairy to start with when you've before you do it, because before you practice it, because suddenly you're not in control of your destiny at that moment in time. The aircraft's going down in a spin. It's disorientating if you don't know what it's all about. And the simplest thing to do in any aircraft, as you'll find out later, whether it's a monoplane or a high-speed aircraft, is to slam on the opposite rudder. I'll deal with that later on. But so here you have a situation where you've gone into a spin, you've checked it by putting on the opposite rudder, dive to got airspeed, go up to a normal flying speed again, and back to normal. Do the same to the left, check it by putting on the opposite rudder, come back and fly again. So that is spinning. Now, spinning itself is a dangerous thing at any height, but at low height it's critical, because you can be going around, say in the Tiger Moth, for instance, your friend's had a problem and he's landing in a field, and the two of you together, you go around to look at him and see how he is, and you're flying around, and you get slowly flying in a circle around a spot on the ground, and you don't realise it because you're flying slowly. You're gradually closing your throttle, and you're in a situation where you're turning. In other words, you've got your left wing down, and suddenly you haven't any airspeed. You're keeping flying at a tight turn, and suddenly you've got nothing. So that puts you into a spin left ways because you're doing a left-hand turn. When you're doing it, it usually flicks over. It flicks over that way, but at low level, it's critical. You have a major problem. So that is something you've always got to watch when you're flying low and slow in a turn. And this was made very clear to me when, later on, when I was actually flying normally and doing low flying and generally, there was a golf course not far away, and it was always fun to fly the golf course down a fairway. And I was doing this, minding my own business, peace of the world, flying along, and suddenly I realised that I was going faster than I thought I was. There was a tree in front of me and very high, and I was doing very little speed, and I pulled on the control column, which immediately put me in a stall situation. Now, this is my first life. This tree was in front of me. I was flying low, and instinctively, that because the conditions were there, I opened the throttle. I remember it so well, but the tree had to avoid, and I turned and did a turn, pulled my stick back to clear anything, and I missed the tree by a cat's cock just on the right hand side, went down to low speed. By this time I'd been on the point of the stall, the critical stall, and I'd actually controlled it and got away with it. You don't forget things like that, because I knew what I'd done, I remembered it, and this is all part of a learning curve. And it was the one thing I do remember about flying at Elmdon. That one thing on the golf course, you know, it was life's lovely, you know, and then you pull back because you've got the tree in front of you. You know that it's you can't get over the top of it, but you've got power on, so you do this, you know. It's not a wing over, but that just I missed it. Anyway, that's a story.